Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
Hallelujah. Everybody doing all right this morning? So good to see everybody. No one's smiling, but I'm gonna say smiling faces. It's good to see smiling faces this Sunday morning. Amen. Hope everybody's doing well. This morning we are, it's a continuation of the Why We Pray series. We're not quite flipping over to the next one quite yet. We're gonna do a little bit more on prayer. Amen. Apparently we still need some help with prayer. Amen. And that's all right. We get what we need here. Amen. 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 So if you can, please turn in your Bibles to Micah, the 6th chapter. Micah, the 6th chapter. And we're going to read verses 1 through 8. Then we're going to skip over to Micah 7 and read 18. Amen. Amen. Everybody got it? We there? Amen. I'm going to do all the work. You just read with me. Is that all right? All right. Micah 6 and 1. It says, "Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee, and wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants. And I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered with him from Shittim until Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doeth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God." Chapter 7, verse 18 says, "Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy." Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. This particular passage of scripture, even if we know anything about the book of Micah, if you haven't had an opportunity to read up on Micah, it's a prophetic book, and even in him speaking prophetically, he is speaking to the people of Israel. I like Micah because he uses, you know, analogies, and he uses he plays with words a little bit. And even when you're reading this particular passage of scripture, it reads like a trial case. And if you think anything about, you know, trial cases that you've seen on television, you know, if you are any Law and Order fans or any, I'm going to date myself, any L.A. Law fans, but law cases, you know, and even any some good movies, sometimes, you know, you see a trial case being played out, and it's, of course, it's intense. And, you know, it's a matter of you finding the, you know, if the attorney can find the person lying and get the caught in a lie, and the person starts sweating and bumbling over their words, and you are talking with the screen like you were the attorney, like, yep, you got him now. And you tell him, nail him right here. And then you, that person is bumbling over their words, and they end up blabbering something out. My wife has me from time to time. We haven't watched in a while. We're watching like Murder, She Wrote or Matlock. And you see, of course, with Matlock, you know, of course, he gets reprimanded by the judge like 3 or 4 times. And then, of course, he gets the person to talk. And when the person talks, they spill their guts. Roll credits. Person goes to jail. All is well. Move on to the next situation, next circumstance, next case. But when we talk about this right here, what we find here in the book of Micah, we find a case, if you will, with Jesus versus the people. Or God versus the people. And some of us, how many of us sometimes feel like there's a court case going on in our own lives? Where sometimes we are telling God, you know, God, I don't know if you're measuring up in this area, God. Or even sometimes when you feel like, you know, God, this is what you said. You put it out there. This is what God said. You give him back his scripture from time to time. You put the word out there and you're testing him based on what he said about his word. Well, I'm talking to myself this morning. In chapter 6, he says, hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. And so right now we are in the middle of a court case. And we're looking at this situation. Imagine, if you will, the courtroom is laid out. And God is saying to the people, why are you not looking to me? This is the case that's on trial. Or this is the case that's on trial right now. Why aren't the people turning to me? He's contending, contend thou before the mountains and let thy hills hear thy voice. So in other words, what we've been speaking, some of us, what we've been crying out to God, God, this is not fair, and God, this has been an injustice, and God, this is not coming right, this is not coming the right way, not going the right way for me. He's like, say it loud. Don't be shy about what your issues are. But in you not being shy, in you contending, in you speaking loud, at least you're talking to me. Some of us, we've lost our way. We don't even talk to God. And that bears in mind the theme of this particular sermon. Why don't you pray? Why we don't pray, I should say. Why do we get to a place where we've lost sight of what God has said? For some of us, it can be a number of things. For myself, I'm not going to be, you know, a hypocrite here. I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. I can tell you that there are times where prayer can be on the back end of things. And it's not so much that I mean it. Matter of fact, sometimes I don't even necessarily know I didn't pray until my wife asked me if I prayed. I'm thinking about a situation. I'm thinking about an issue. I'm thinking about something that needs to be worked out. And my wife says, well, did you pray? And I get caught with that dumbfounded look on my face like, or I mean, the simplest thing to do would be to pray. I should have prayed. I could have prayed. But we've had a systematic approach to certain things in our lives where we're just like, okay, I spend this time thinking about it, mulling it over, worrying about it, complaining about it, talking about it. Then I pray.
How many of us have talked about something and the reality is we talk to our friends about it. We talk to our spouse about it. We talk to even people at the grocery store about it. They don't even know us. They don't even know our situation. We've gone online, social media, and talked about it. Tweeted about it. Snapchat about it. Instagram about it. But we forgot to pray about it. And God is saying, hear ye now what the Lord say. Arise, contend thou before the mountains. Let your voice be heard. God doesn't even remember some of our voices. You know, again, not to be a hypocrite, sometimes I internalize things. I talk about it, but I talk about it to myself. And so when someone says, well, what have you talked about? Yeah, I have talked about it ad nauseum to myself. You know, my wife asked me a question. I can't remember what the question was or what we were even talking about. But she was like, well, why don't we talk about this? Or what she was saying, well, why are you so upset? Because I was basically getting upset about talking about something. And I feel like we've been talking about it for days, weeks, months. But I ain't been saying nothing. Not about that particular subject. And so when she said, I'm like, I'm already at 10. When she says something, I'm like, I'm tired of talking about this. When do we talk about it? I don't know. For some of us, we've been talking for days, weeks, months about something in our head and expecting somebody else to be able to understand where you are. Why are you so frustrated about it? Why are you so upset about it? Why are you so mad about it? Because I've been talking to myself about it. So he's saying, I want to hear your voice. Instead of complaining, instead of talking to yourself, instead of mulling it over, instead of thinking about it, instead of processing, some of us are still stuck on, I'm processing this. Come on. Some of us, we don't pray because we're still processing. And if you know anything about, I'm going to go into my development world. Everybody knows I'm a developer, so I'm going to bring it in somehow, some way. So if you know anything about a program, and it says it's still processing, it's still low. It cannot go further. It cannot move forward until it gets to the point where it has all the data it needs to move forward. And that's like some of us think that we need all the data to move forward. God did not build you like a program. God did not bring you, did not give you code. You're not coded where you are, you know, working off of binary ticks and where you like, okay, am I 0 or 1, 0 or 1, 0 or 1? I know that's over some of y'all. That's binary code. Where everything is based off of true or false. The whole purpose, the whole premise of faith is the fact that we're not predicated on everything being just true or false. But it's based on what God said, the ultimate truth. And so when we start thinking about the fact that we're still, some of us are still processing, stuck in a mode where we cannot go forward because we are waiting for us to see the end of things, to get to the real debt, get to everything. I want to see how everything plays out. And God's like, no, just talk to me. We're going to work our way out of verse 1. Amen. Verse 2, hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with his people. He has controversy with us. For some of us, we don't even understand that there's a strong debate, a strong disagreement that usually carries over time. That's what controversy is. A debate or something that is he does not agree with, that's been carrying over a long period of time. And for some of us, we've been carrying this thought in our minds that we don't necessarily need to pray about certain things, certain situations, certain circumstances for a long period of time. Have you ever said in your mind, there's just some things I'm just not going to pray about? I'll pray about healing, or I'll pray that, you know, someone will be okay, or I'll pray that, you know, some things will happen, but there's just some things I'm just not going to pray about. And there's a disagreement right there. God says for you to pray about everything. That's where we have a problem. That's where, for some of us, there's the disconnect, is because I pray about this and I pray about that. But to pray about everything means I have to be in constant communication with you. So why aren't we bucking at the system? Why don't we want to be in constant communication with God? Why don't we want to talk with the one that's given so much for us, the one that loves us so much, shares with us so much? Well, for some of us, it's pride. For some of us, it's just the whole point of what you think about, let's talk about what you think about yourself. You think that you are, you know, you've gotten to a certain age, you think you've gotten to a certain status, you think you've gotten to a certain point in your life, or whether you've received a certain a number of accreditations or whatever the case may be, that you are at a place where you don't have to ask nobody for nothing. Some of us say, okay, well, I've lived 20 plus years or 30 plus years, 40 plus years, et cetera, et cetera. I've seen some things. But you comparing that to the one that's been here since the beginning. And for some of us, we think we know the answer already. We think we got the answers already. I'm talking about you, Caden. I love you, though. Amen. You in the back. I wasn't expecting you to be in the back, but amen. But for some of us, because I did it too when I was a child, you know, we got, you know, when we don't get the answer, we're working on, you know, a math problem. You know, we're working on math. We're trying to get through something, and, you know, we're trying to get to the answer, and we don't necessarily know whether to, you know, subtract, add, multiply, divide. We're trying to work through things, but we get to a stopping point. We get to a point where we don't quite know how to get to the answer. And for some of us, we get upset at the individual that does know how to get to the answer, but they won't tell us how to get to the answer. And so what that individual would have you do is for you to talk through the problem. And for some of us, like our relationship with God, our communication with God, sometimes you talking to God, God doesn't want to give you the answer, but he just simply wants you to talk through the problem. See, for some of us, we're like, well, God, you already know the answer. Why don't you just give me the answer? Just spill it out. Because if I just give you the answer, you won't learn nothing. Oh. That doesn't sit well with some of us. That doesn't sit well with some of us because we know God knows the answer but won't give us the answer. What kind of love is that? But like any good teacher, he wants you to figure it out for yourself. He wants you to understand that there is something behind what he's been showing you, what he's been giving you, what he's been enlightening us with. So that question right there, you know, some of us, we look at it from a standpoint of, okay, well, why pray then? If God already knows the answer, if God already knows his will, if God already knows what he's going to do, if God already sees what I'm going to do, then why am I going to pray about it? Oh, come on. Oh, some of us believe this. I mean, some of us just think that, okay, well, things are already lined up. Things are already going to go a certain way, so why do I have to pray about it? Can I tell you, you know, something that tripped me up for a long, long, long time was I remember as a, you know, I've been saved since I was six. And so I remember in second grade, I remember praying for a test that I did not study for. But I believed God that he was going to get me through this test. That he was going to give me a passing grade. I was going to be able to pass this test. Foolish faith. No studying, no anything. And I'm not saying that it can't happen. It just didn't happen for me that day. So what was the point in praying? See, that's what trips me up right there. At second grade, I was like, well, what was the point then? Did I say the right words? Did I not mean it? I meant it. I felt like I meant it. See, that's what we've already worked this out when I was in second grade. Everything I'm praying for, I'm not going to get. But he knows the answers. Why not? Why wouldn't he just give me the answers? Because I had to learn. I need to study. I had to learn that I had to prepare. I had to learn that I had to put my time in. That he's just not going to gift everything, but you got to do some work too. So just like that, I remember praying. And then I remember not praying. Not praying that I get to a destination safely. But God did it. Not praying about, even when I got up in the airplane, you know, sometimes I prayed. Sometimes I didn't. But I'm a living testimony that I made, that I made it. But what was the point? If I didn't pray and God moved in, but I prayed then and God didn't move then, what was the point? And see, this is for some of us as believers. I'm messing with your psyche this morning because I want you to start thinking about some of the things that you do pray for and some of the things you don't pray for. Or I really want you to think about, you know, well, I don't pray about everything, but there are some specific things I will pray. You know, fear has a way of making you pray about things. Some of us have prayed more times about not being embarrassed than being right. God, I just don't want to be embarrassed. I want people talking about me. I don't want to seem like I ain't got it all together. Some of us will pray that prayer. But God, I want to be right. Mm-mm. Nope. God, I want to forgive. Nope. God, I want to be on the right side of this thing. Nope. So what are you praying for? He has a controversy with some of us. Something that's been going on. There's a disagreement there's been a war going on between us. And there, in the midst of a court case, God is defending himself. He's the defense. And he says, oh, my people, verse 3, oh, my people, what have I done unto thee? What has he done unto you? My God, he wants you to forgive people. How dare him? He wants you to love on people. How dare God? He wants you to speak to him on occasion. Talk to him about some things. How dare him? He wants you to take time out of your busy schedule to have a moment with him, have some time with him, and have some time with his people. How dare him? You know, I was reading something. It was an article by a pastor, and he was talking about how he was upset when he heard people say that they didn't have time to pray. I don't have time to pray. God, I'm moving. I got to get the kids, and then I got to take the kids, then I got to pick up the kids, and then I got to do my thing at work, then I got to get home from work, then I got to cook, then I got to do laundry. And then I'm going to get me some me time. Let's look at things, people. Netflix isn't going out of business anytime soon. Facebook and Twitter, those are billion-dollar commodities. But the people don't have time to pray. We have so much time to do some of the things we want to do. We have so much time to do some of the things we feel that we need to do, but we don't need to pray. When we think about certain things stack up on a priority list, you can say, okay, well, I need to do laundry, but you don't need to pray. You need to appear clean, but you don't need to be clean. Well, I need to cook something. You need to cook something for your physical being, but you don't need to cook anything for your spiritual being. Oh, come on. Let's put things in priority now. Let's start talking about the real issues that we have, the real situation, circumstances that we have. We need to pray. There, we need to have an understanding about how things are, you know, arranged in our lives. Me too. I'm not just coming at you like it's not hitting me too. But that's what we say. We don't have time to pray. What is prayer? I can give prayer, you know, if I can hit God off with the, you know, 30-second before I go into work prayer. You know, that God do it in my life prayer, you know. God, make a way, God. God, you know. That's my favorite one. God, you know. That encompasses everything that I don't want to mention. Everything I don't want to talk about. God, you know, God. Do it. He says, oh, my people, what have I done unto thee? What have I done unto you? Where have I wearied you? God's like, well, I'm a burden now? It's a struggle for you to talk to me now? Wearied. He's like, I see right now. And you know, sometimes, amen. Sometimes you get that phone call. It could be from someone you really don't mind talking to, but you just don't want to talk. And he'd be like, ugh. It's not, that person didn't even really do anything to you. And it's not even really like a bad time. And he's like, I'm wearing you now. You don't want to talk to me now? He'd be like, hello? And you already start, you know, thinking in your mind, like, how am I going to get out of this conversation? With your hello, you think about, how can I get out of this conversation in 2 to 3 seconds? Well, I'm doing something right now. And they just keep on talking. Or they hit you with, well, what you doing? And you like, and then, you know, for some of us that don't want to get caught in a lie, you just be like, what you want? What's going on with you? How's it going with you? Let's change the subject altogether. And that's what God's saying. You know, sometimes you feel that little tap on your shoulder. Hey, God, what's up? Hey, God, what's going on? But I got to work on some, I got to do some things. I got some things I got to work out. Can I get back to you? Can I? God's like, I'm wearing you, then testify. Testify. You have the floor. You have the floor. Go ahead. You show me where I'm wearing you. You show me what you're so busy doing that you can't talk to me. It says, for I bought thee, this is where he gets heavy with it, for I brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And redeem thee out of the house of servants. You were in a place of bondage. Need I remind you? And see, when we talk about court cases and we talk about, you know, when this is the part where, you know, in the courtroom, it's like the drama settles and everybody's like, well, this is, you know, what's your justification for doing what you do? Why did you do it? And, you know, like for me, I always thought it was really crazy how, you know, at Matlock, he would just like, the guy would just spill his guts and just tell everything. You didn't have to say all that. But ties up like everything in a nice little bow in like 30 minutes to an hour. But guys, well, that's what God's saying. He wants you to just spill it. Like just say your piece. Say what you have going on that I didn't give you. Tell me about what you are, the problems that you have. But truth be told, the problems you have is because some of these things you asked for. And so when you are testifying, you are sitting there, well, God, I got this on my mind. And God, I got these problems. And God, I got this thing happening. And God, that's what you asked for. And that's that moment where, you know, like I said, in Matlock, they get caught in the lie. They find themselves getting caught up in what they're saying. And they're like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. And that's like some of us. Some of us are getting caught in what we're saying and realizing what we're complaining about is stuff we asked for. You said you needed this. You said you needed that. You said you wanted a spouse. You said you wanted children. You said you wanted this job. You said you wanted this responsibility. You said you tired of just making ends meet. You said you want more people in your life. You need friends. What's your problem with, what you think your problem is with me is really the problem you have with who? My God. But I brought you out of Egypt. I brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed thee out of the house of servants. And I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Do you know when God is gifting people to your life? See, some of the people that, you know, are trying to get you to talk, and some of the people that, you know, bother you all the time, call you all the time, want to see how you doing. Or better yet, some of the people that are trying to lead you a certain way, like Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, people that are people of example, people of promise, people that are trying to show you how to get to promise. God said, I gift those to you. I gave them to you for you to be better. How do you treat the people that are gifted to you? Oh, come on. These are the people you don't want to answer the phone. These are the people that you roll your eyes to. Some of y'all, you roll your eyes so hard, they get stuck in the back of your head and then finally come back around. Rolling your eyes at the people of God. So you don't roll your eyes at the people on YouTube. You don't roll your eyes at the TV when you know they're telling you a lie. You know that ain't real. You get caught up in the cars and the house, and you get caught up in the what would be could be the perfect family and the two dogs the two kids in the fence, and you get caught up in the what the appearances say. Oh, you get caught up in the Instagram model because they have how many followers? 50,000 followers, 100,000 followers. 200, you get caught up. But when God sends you people that you're supposed to follow, when God purposely gives you people that can show you how to stay out of bondage, not just get out of bondage, but stay out of bondage. When we look at prayer, prayer is the four elements of prayer: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and seeking help. I didn't make that up. I read that somewhere. Four elements of prayer: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, seeking help. And truth be told, there are people that have showed us how to do that. Matter of fact, when we come here, is that not what we are all about? Isn't that what we do as a church body? We believe in adoration. We believe in confessing. We believe in thanksgiving, but the last part for some of us gets a little tricky. When it comes down to seeking help, whether it be from God or the people that God sent to give you help, some of us don't use it. When God puts people in your life and he gifts people into your life, you have to make sure that you are utilizing. You're not wasting what God has given you. Now, I realize I'm just speaking to adding like more responsibility to. But the reality is that there isn't a push in the body. There isn't a push from the people that you want more, that you're thirsty for more, that you're desiring more. Right. Yeah, you want to know how to get out of this jam. But you don't want to know how to bring somebody else out. Yes, you want to know how to get out of this present circumstance. But you don't want to know how what it is to change lives. And so when I see him pinpointing Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, these are not just mere people that he's talking about, but these are people that had a strong sense of leadership, but also a strong connection with God. So he could have just mentioned anybody, but he didn't mention the person. And, you know, you could just go over to this person and get a word. You can just go over to this person and get, you know, taught something. But who's going to teach you how to come out? Verse 5, oh, my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. And he's saying these are people that, as he's giving Aaron, Moses, and Miriam, he's also giving the counterpoint. These are people that set Israel back or worked wickedness to set Israel back. And so I want to ask you this morning, how do you want to be seen? How do you want to be remembered? You could be a catalyst for us to move forward. And I'm talking to you saying move us forward. Because I do believe each one of us has something to give the body. It's not just a matter of Pastor Lincoln and Pastor Ivan, myself, the elders. It's not just a matter of Pastor Kiri. It's not just a matter of us, but it's us, the collective. How do you want to be seen? How do you want to be perceived? How do you want God to see you? You could be productive, or you can cost us some things. Even if it's time. Oh, it's quiet. You can be costing us time right now because you won't pray. You depending on the prayers of the elders. You depending on the prayers of somebody else. But why won't you pray? Trials and tribulations, turmoil in the body. Why won't you pray? You saw the news article. Why didn't you pray? You saw the abduction. You saw the rape. Why didn't you pray? You just swiped. Next story. What's happening in sports? What's happening in entertainment? What's the next movie coming out? That wasn't the big headline. You swipe past the headline to go to something else that you want to be entertained by. Why didn't you pray? Somebody else will cover it. Come on, for some of us, that's what we think. Somebody else will cover it. But God showed it to you. We wear the title of intercessor or prayer warrior, or I'm a Christian at the very core, the very basis of it. Before you get all to the big title, I'm a Christian. Why don't you pray? Are you going to be a catalyst for good, for change for the good? Or are you going to set the people back? Verse 6, wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow my... These are the people. Now, flip this. That was the defense, right? And that was, you know, as God was saying, this is what his defense was. Now the prosecution turns. And that's what some of us say. The prosecutor would say, well, wherewith shall I come before the Lord? Look at this. This is kind of sarcastic, if you will. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Look at this. God is just merely asking you to talk to him. And the people of God are saying, well, should I just bring, what should I bring? What should I give to this God, this high God? Do I have to bring burnt offerings and calves of a year old? And then it says, would the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? And that's what some of us do. God asks you for something. And if God is asking you for something, it's something that you can afford to give up. If A, not for just the reason that he wants to see you give it up, but for also for him to double your portion, for him to bless you with more. But even in that, God wants to see where your faith is, and God wants to see what your belief is. But some of us, we take one little thing and blow it all out of proportion. God's like, I want you to give your time, or I want you to give, you know what, speak a kind word. God. I want you to hug them. God. Oh, my God. Now you want me to go lunch with them, too? Now I got to go to the Christmas party with them? What do you want from me, God? But that's what we do. He says, I give my firstborn for my transgression. And people are like, it's like, I got to give you all of this. And God's just like, no, I just want you. Let God dispense you where he needs you to be. Let God put your time where it needs to be. What if God only requires you to spend 1 hour on laundry and you cover up and make it up in the end? But I need you for something else right now. Or what if he requires you just to be, you know, a listening ear right now, and he'll make you make up that time for you later? Or what if you sacrifice that hug? Because we know that you really don't want to, you know, hug people like that. So you sacrifice that hug right now, but God will heal you. That little bit that you give, God is saying, if you give me that, I could do so much with it. That little bit that you give, the little bit that he's asked for, he's not asking for you for you to do all the things that, because truth be told, you don't have thousands of rivers of oil. Truth be told, you don't have thousands of rams. So you're making an account for things you don't even have. Talking out of the realm of our emotions. My God. He says, verse 8, he have showed thee, O man, what is good. He showed you. In you just talking to me. In your adoration. In your confession. In your thanksgiving. In you seeking help. That's good. That's what God wants from us. He wants you to be able to tell him about it. God wants you to speak to him. And for some of us, I know some of us, it becomes routine. How many of us have said that? That God, you know, this prayer that I'm praying is just routine. I'm not even doing it because I want to do it. I'm doing it because I feel like I got to do it. Some of us get caught in the routine of things, the obligation of things. And that's why some of us just don't pray. We just like, this is routine. So what are you going to add to the prayer to make it unroutine? What are you going to change about your prayer that's going to bring excitement? You know, the one thing about being married is you realize you can't come with the same old thing. The same thing that worked, almost 20 years ago. It's not going to work. You talking about the same things and the same issues and the same problems and the same concerns, same doubts, same fears. Some of us just talk just to be talking because of the routine. God says it's routine for you, it's routine for me too. Oh, God is tired of just your routine prayer. Some of us got to come up a little bit more. Some of us got to pray a little bit harder. Some of us have to come up with a new tongue. Some of us have to come up with some new words, some new revelation about the word. Oh. Where's your desire? Where's your change? Where's your willingness to seek God a different way? My God. God says he's tired of the routine. You still praying over your food the same way. Woo. You still blessing your food the same way as you were 6 years old. I saw a friend of mine in the break room, and he was praying for his lunch, and I was like, man. I mean, he broke, like, the man of God, he's an awesome man of God at my job, and the things he does, is it goes unmentioned, but anyway, I saw him praying, and it sparked something in me. I was like, man. The way he praying over his little, you know, his little bento box. He's got his rice, his peas, and his little piece of chicken. I was just like, man. I mean, with passion and fervency, and he was like, he didn't care who was in the room. I felt shame. I was just like, Lord. But that's what. If anything, God wants you to see that there needs to be some change to your prayer. He likes you talking to him, but he also likes it being a little more passion and fervency to it. Even over your food. So you don't have to go into, God, I give you all of this. Do I have to give you all of this? That weak prosecution is whatever. He says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doeth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. That's what he requires. That you just do justly and love mercy. How do you, as a believer, not love mercy? You love mercy for you. But for others, for somebody else, oh, they got to catch it. They got to get it. And you know, the funny thing about it is, even when you said, like I was saying before, that, you know, God sometimes wants you to talk to him just so he can, you know, so you can settle your mind and hear what you say Some of the things you pray for, he just wants you to hear it. And you know that ain't right. Some of you, sometimes you talking through the issue, talking through the situation, and in him, sometimes he don't even have to say anything, because by the time you said it, you already understand. You see the feelings that you have for, you know, behind the situation. You see the feelings behind the situation and what you meant out of, you know, you said what you meant. And you'd be like, amen, guys. You ain't got to say anything on that one. See, sometimes we don't pray because we know. We know he's not even going to say anything on that. Or if he does say something, he's going to check us about it. So I'd rather stay in my thought process and hear what he has to say. But even in that, he's saying, he showed you what is good, what doeth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. You got to walk humble. And that's the thing about prayer, is that it will, as you are praying, it'll humble you. See, some of us don't pray because we like the sense, we like the feeling that we have control. We like thinking that we have some control over some things. And so I don't have to pray about that because I'm going to see this out anyway. We think that, you know, even if we don't pray about that, then I don't need God's approval. I don't need to check in with God on that situation. I got it. And then you come to realize you ain't got it. Things have worked out that it turns out topsy-turvy. It doesn't turn out quite the way that you thought it would, that you thought it should. And you realize, I ain't have it. Humility. God has a way of humbling you. So I'd rather humble myself in prayer before he humbles me another way. So then when we flip over to chapter 7, verse 18, it says, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Even as we, you know, God is stepping down off the witness stand and the prosecution's red in the face and everybody in the courtroom know the case is done. It's over. The jury doesn't have to say anything. The judge is like, well. But you have to understand that there's nothing that you can say. There's no reason why you don't pray. You need to realize that there is no reason why you shouldn't be praying as a believer. Who is a God unlike unto thee? There is no one that could compare. Sometimes we pray, we spend our time praying to finances. How do you pray to finances? You just put your job over everything. Do you find yourself talking more about work than work talking about God? Do you find yourself talking about getting that buck, getting that dollar? Getting that money? Then you do it about God. Well, I'm talking to somebody in here. Because some of us, we have thoughts, plans, dreams. We'll talk about that in a heartbeat. We won't talk about what God done for us. You'll testify about what you think you're about to be and what you're going to do. But what about what God has already done? Mm-hmm. But he pardons iniquity and passeth by transgression of the remnant of his heritage. And he retaineth not his anger. That's the part I like. Even though God has come down off the witness stand and wrecked the whole courtroom, everybody feeling some type of way, having like a self-reflection, God ain't mad. God's like, you tried to accuse me not caring about you. You tried to accuse me of not listening. You tried to accuse me of not being there for you. You tried to accuse me of keeping you from going forward, holding you back. But he says he's not going to retain his anger for anger. He's a little upset. A little frustrated right now, but he's not going to be that way forever. I love the fact that when we talk about God, when we think about, you know, this conversation, this, you know, this what we're supposed to have with God, it doesn't have to be mystical. He's not wanting it to be mystical. Can I tell you that? You don't have to, you know, break out the thous and thises and, you know, you don't have to go old English on God. You talk in your language. You speak to him the way you speak to him. He's okay with that. And even the fact that you have not, if you have not prayed like you should, if you are not praying like you should, then you can do it now. God's not going to hold that against you forever. There's grace in being able to come and say, God, I didn't know. Or I just didn't see it that way, God. Maybe I did know, but I just didn't see it that way. Or I thought I was right. Or I thought I had it together. Or I thought I knew. Or I thought I already worked it out, God. I didn't need your help with this. God's like, no, see me about everything. Talk to me. He wants to have a one-on-one relationship with each one of us. And he's concerned about you. I can talk to God about you or for you, but he wants to hear it from you. There's a connection he wants to have with you. That when we come together, we should touch and agree. But he's already talked to you about it. He's already given you a peace about it. See, some of us, we don't have peace because we're not talking to God. Some of us, our lives are moving to and fro because we don't have a peace about certain things in our life that we're not talking to God about. Or if you are talking to God about it, you are talking to God about what he should do. You've already made a decision. He just needs to come in alignment with it. Have you already made your mind up but still went to prayer anyway? Oh, I know I'm not by myself. Made my mind up, but I'm going to go to prayer because I said, just to say I went to prayer. God, I'm going to buy this. I'll pray about it later. Or I'm going to say this. That's me. I'm going to say this. And I'm going to pray about it later. But he wants you to understand that this is a right. It's not just a privilege and an honor, but a right that you have as a believer, that you can have that communication, that you can talk to him. Because he delighteth in mercy. He delights in mercy. Amen. So this is a small part into the This Is Why We Pray series. But if anything, I want you to reflect on why. Just think to yourself and the things that you don't pray about. If you feel like your prayer is a little spotty at times, ask yourself, ask God, why am I not praying about that? Is it because your mind's made up? Is it because you're hurt? Is it because you are disappointed? Is it because you just always, you've built up a wall? You don't have an ear to hear? That's a serious, that's a issue in itself. But I want you to ask yourself or ask, I want you to ask God that so you can start tearing that wall down. You can never pray enough. That's what I'm realizing, is that you just can't pray enough. Amen. Amen.